Well, it's always a nice buzz when you're with us, guys, so welcome you too. And before I start the morning, I want to ask if I know of one birthday boy yesterday. That was Daniel. But I also know about another little boy, Heather's great-grandson, who is two today. Hudson Blue is two. Now, are there more birthdays? Somebody's birthday here? Mike's birthday. Well, I think it's worth singing birthday to all those people. Good. Notices are done. You know what you're doing. You're making a collage. We are going to think about the chapter of Genesis in the Bible book today. And I would like to start with a prayer, our call to worship. So let us be quiet and bow our heads for our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, King of all creation, sovereign over all things, you hold the universe in the palm of your hand. Enable us to keep our hearts fixed on you and our minds on your truth. For we have come because you have called us. We have come in the name of Jesus. We have come to declare your love for us. We have come because you are worthy. We have come to worship you as Lord of all. Lord, empower us with your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge your presence here this morning and to worship you alone. We welcome you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So our first song is going to be Welcome, King of Kings. So let's join together in singing our first song. Let us pray our prayers of adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Sovereign Lord, the reason we have come to you this morning is to worship you, to be in your presence and proclaiming that you are the creator of all things, who carefully and lovingly speaks the universe into being. When you spoke, everything was made. You even created us in your image and placed us above all other creatures on this earth to look after. Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who through Jacob's son Joseph saved an entire family from famine, which became the nation of Israel. We thank you for your covenant with Noah, never to let the world be flooded again. But we thank you most of all for sending your son Jesus, who saved our lives and still saves lives today, as you have done in the past. Be with us this morning and may we see your greatness through your word in Genesis. Keep us learning and absorbing your word and open our eyes and hearts for the things you want to show us this morning. But Lord, we know all too well after reading Genesis that we as people never get it right. We cheat, we are jealous, we are proud, we lie, we gossip. We are unfair and treat others not the way you intended. We say sorry, Lord, for the times when we shut our eyes to your goodness, when we close our hearts to the joy you offer, too busy doing our own thing, trying to work in our own strength. We are sorry when we ignore those who are struggling with sadness, those for whom colors have become gray, those who need to hear about your love for them. Forgive us, Lord, and give us courage and a renewed strength to share hope and joy with others and to witness to your unfailing love. Amen.
Amen.
And yeah, Lord, you mean so much to us. Your power and majesty and authority are utterly, totally, and completely beyond anything we can picture in our minds. The wonder and depth of your grace simply take our breath away and leaves us astounded. We call you Creator, Sustainer, and Lord Almighty as our way of expressing the truth you have revealed about yourself through the sights and sounds of your creation and through your word in the Bible. We call you Savior, Father, and Lord to describe our relationship with you, a relationship your Son made possible through his life, death, and resurrection. Today we bring you our thanksgiving and our praise, and we ask that by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, all our words, all our days, and all our actions may be evidence of the joy we experience in giving thanks and praise to you, the one true living God. And we ask this through Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, we are going to, to kind of sing again. See how you feel with singing along with this song. It is a video, and it is about the creation, but also about the plan that God has with us. So sing with it. You can stay seated on your chairs or at the table, but just look at it and sing with it whenever you find the right pitch. Mary will do our readings from Galatians.
The first and only reading today is from Galatians 3, verses 6 to 9. It's very short. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, so there we are again. I mean, we are going to look at an overview of Genesis, the 50 books of Genesis. And the first week we looked at the chapters 1 to 11, the sovereign God who creates, where Peter gave an overview of these chapters in 11 words and spoke about the beginning of creation, but also about the new creation of God, pointing to the last book in the Bible, which is Revelations, where it speaks about the new heaven and new earth, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things have passed away, where Genesis mirrors the book of Revelation. The second week, we looked at chapters 12 to 25, where Richard talked about the God who calls and blesses. The people multiplied, and through the line of Shem, Noah's son, eventually Abraham was born in Ur, I remember that, in Chaldea, that is today's Iraq, when God chooses Abraham to become the father of many nations. And he becomes a model of faith and a blessing to all. God calls Abraham to leave Ur with his family to go to an unknown destination. And Abraham went, and God blessed him, even though he was not always faultless. And although Abraham and his wife Sarah were childless for a long time, God kept his promise and gave him a son, Isaac, and at a very old age. And God tested Abraham's faith as well by asking him to offer Isaac, his only son. But Isaac was saved by a ram, and he eventually married Rebekah. And he had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And that is where the third part began, which Nola did for us, and that was chapters 25 to 36, the God who comes to the people in their struggles. She told us that before the birth of Jacob and Esau, Rebekah was told that there were two nations inside her, and the younger one, Jacob, which means deceiver, will rule over the older one, Esau. Isaac favored Esau, Rebekah favored her son Jacob. But although Jacob was a deceiver, God blessed him, and finally, after many struggles and even a fight with God, he realized that God was in charge. And after 14 years, he finally married his favorite wife, Rachel, after he worked so many years for Laban, and he was blessed with 12 sons and a daughter. And if you were able to attend last week, that was about the God who confirms and safeguards divine promises. That is the last chapters up till chapter 50. And it was about God was choosing the future patriarchs of the nation of Israel, starting with Abraham, then Isaac and Jacob, Isaac's son. If it would have been up to us, we wouldn't have chosen these men because they were corrupt, they were liars, they were cheaters. But God, he makes always surprising choices. And through the remarkable story of Joseph, the dreamer, who ended up as the breadbasket for Pharaoh in Egypt when famine came and saved the entire family from death. So then God chose Judah as the fourth patriarch to secure the bloodline of Jesus. Now, to refresh your memory, and for people who haven't been there, we have a short video that gives an overview of all those chapters, except for the creation story with Adam and Eve and Noah, the flood, and it starts with the Tower of Babel, where everyone was confused by speaking different languages. So if we could have a look at that, a recap of all those chapters.
We're walking through the book of Genesis, which is made up of these two main parts.
And the first part begins in the garden, where we watch humanity spiral downward in self-destruction, and it ends in the Tower of Babel, where a rebellious humanity is scattered by God.
Then the second part of Genesis zooms in and focuses on just one family.
And right in the middle is this story that links the two parts of Genesis together and helps us understand what the whole book is all about.
So how do we get from the Tower of Babel to the story here in the middle?
Well, after the scattering at Babel, there's this genealogy, and it follows one of the tribes all the way down to this one guy named Abram.
You probably know him as Abraham.
And God starts making all these promises to Abraham, like he's going to bless him and give him a ton of kids. And he says that through him and his family, all the nations of the earth are now going to find God's blessing. So basically, God is trying to restore humanity back to the goodness of the garden and to his original intentions for the world. So it's like his rescue plan for humanity. And that's why the whole second half of Genesis is about this one family. And so you have Abraham, and then he has his son Isaac, who has Jacob, and then Jacob has 12 sons. And to each generation, God renews his promise to bless them and all nations through them.
So because of this promise to use this family to rescue the world, it's pretty easy to read these stories as examples of how to be a good person.
But actually, for the most part, this family is totally dysfunctional. So for example, let's go back to Abraham. This whole story is about God giving him and his wife Sarah a family, but two different times. He basically gives Sarah away to other men by denying that she's even his wife. And then Sarah gets impatient about having a son, and so she makes Abraham sleep with her servant girl, which then causes all of these other problems in the family.
So they get really old, and you begin to think that there's no way they're going to have a kid of their own. But then, miraculously, they do. It's Isaac.
And Isaac, he has two sons, Esau and Jacob, and it seems like things are going pretty good.
But Jacob, the younger brother, wants the family's inheritance, which belongs to Esau, the older brother. So he devises a plan where he's going to steal it from his father, Isaac, who at this point in the story is now old and blind.
Which, who does that? Horrible, stealing from your blind father.
Yeah, and then he just takes off.
So Jacob goes on from there to have 12 sons, big family. But Jacob loves his 11th son, Joseph, way more than all the others. And so he gives him the special Technicolor dream coat. And his brothers, because of this, come to hate him.
So much so that they plan on killing him.
But they don't. They instead just sell him as a slave down in Egypt.
Now, while in Egypt, through this crazy series of events, Joseph goes from being in a prison cell to becoming the second in command there.
And so later on, the whole Middle East falls into this food shortage. And Joseph's brothers, they come down to Egypt looking for food. And then when they get there, who should they find as the ruler of the whole land?
It's Joseph, that guy they sold into slavery. But he actually saves them from starving to death.
And so here you have it. These are the great-grandchildren of Abraham who have done this heinous act to their brother. But God has transformed their evil into something good.
And that's exactly what Joseph says here in the last paragraph of the entire book. He says, "You guys planned all of this for evil, but God planned it for good, to save people's lives."
Now, these words, they conclude the book because they actually summarize the message of the whole story so far. Humans keep choosing evil, and we are thinking they're screwing up God's plan, but he keeps turning their evil back into good. And somehow, he's going to use this family to restore humanity back to the garden.
So that's the book of Genesis. But we still don't know how exactly he's going to use this family to bring us back to the garden.
Well, yeah, but this is just the first book. So that's what the rest of the Bible sets out to answer. Hey there, I'm Tim.
That was Tim and John telling that story. So, yes, that was the book of Genesis. Now, I would like to ask you things, and you've been working on this fantastic collage. Who would be the first one to comment on Genesis? Something you learned, or something you would like to say, or something that spoke especially to you? Who would like to say something?
It's very quiet, but Linda would like to say something.
That we are never so messed up that God can't use us. That's right. Never so messed up that God can't use us.
Did you hear that? Yes. God can always use us, even if we are totally messed up. That is great to know, isn't it? Anything else?
I think following on from that is that we always continue to keep wrestling with God.
Like Jacob, he wrestled. And there's Glennis.
I find it amazing that it does say that we were created in our mother's wombs. God knew all about us from the very start of our lives, before we were even born. And he has an amazing plan. So why wouldn't all of us want to follow his amazing plan for our lives? He's there to help when everything is going badly, as he did with Joseph. That's what I've got out of the studies.
Thank you, Glennis. Anyone else? Yeah. Marilyn?
God's timing isn't always our timing, and it's difficult to understand sometimes when things don't actually turn around.
Exactly, that's true. Timing is a big thing. I'll come to you.
Also, that God's choice of people would not be ours.
You're totally right there, yes. But he can use all of us, can't he? Because we are all as crooked as the ones in Genesis. Anyone else? Heidi, sorry. I'll come to you later.
Ah, yes, I just find it incredible, you know, as you've said, how messed up everything is and how everyone does the wrong things. And I find it incredible that from this tribe of 12, from Judah, who messed up big time, comes the Messiah ultimately. I just find that amazing, that God, like you were saying, he doesn't change his plan.
Thank you, Heidi.
I think it comes through a lot in the Bible too, that we are told so many times, do not be afraid, I'm with you. And I think a lot of the situations all through Genesis, they were in really scary places. You know, Joseph was down in the dungeon and Abraham was going, he had no idea where he was. Jacob was in pain when he was fighting and didn't know what was going to happen. And yet in each situation, God brought them out of that and, as you say, made good out of it. And I think that's very comforting for us, because we all have scary times and worry about things and that. Just to know that God is with us all the time and we needn't be afraid, and he will bring, you know, good out of rotten things, and just to trust him.
Thank you so much. Anyone else?
Just to repeat, really, that you know, God is sovereign and he has a plan, and his plan is working out. And I just find it incredible that, you know, that how that plan was working through Genesis, and then we can see that he brought all the Israelites into Egypt to build them up, to make them thrive, and, you know, we know the next bit of the story in Exodus. You can see that plan just working through, and it hasn't stopped. That's the thing. It hasn't stopped. Still going.
Thank you all so much. If I run out of time, you have done the sermon already for me today. So thank you.
Okay, we continue to sing. He is exalted. The Lord is exalted on high. Let us stand to sing if you're able to. And after that, we will take up the collection. Now, we talked already about God's plan. You came up with that yourself. We saw it in the video of the song. And Richard spoke also earlier about this during previous sessions. God, he has a plan to secure the Jewish nation from which Jesus came. But the plan is for all nations to be blessed. And therefore, this plan includes you and me. And I would like to talk to you about this plan during this short service. And I what came into my mind all the time when I read Genesis, it was this rainbow. And I don't know if you remember when it was COVID times, what did people put in their windows? It was a rainbow, wasn't it? Why did they do that? To give people hope. To give a smile on the face of people who passed by. And this rainbow is a message of hope. Because the time in COVID was a very anxious time. We didn't know what was happening. Sue mentioned it before. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we are anxious. Sometimes we don't know what's happening. Abraham, he went to a country he didn't even know that it existed. So COVID for us was a very insecure time, but that rainbow, that was the sign of hope. Yeah, so rainbows, they are used as that symbol of peace and hope, and we know they often appear after a heavy rainfall. And it is to remind us that there is light after darkness. And God, he made the first rainbow. With Noah. It was his promise. to Noah never to flood the land again and wipe all living beings from the earth. And God made many other covenants or promises, as you can say as well. He made them with Abraham to give Abraham's descendants God's promised land and to give Abraham many descendants and be the ancestor of many nations. The flood happened because God was very disappointed with the people he created and turned their backs on him. Even though they were created out of love and in God's image, since God could not find any more faithful people except for Noah and his family, God decided to wipe everyone from the face of the earth, except for Noah and his family, like I said. So Noah built an ark, yes. And what did he take with him besides his family? Did I hear? Animals. Animals, yes. Noah obeyed God. He made the ark, he took all the animals and his family with him. Now, do we always obey God like Noah did? I'm afraid that when God looks down on us, as he did in the time of Noah, he is not going to be very impressed with us either. We don't always obey God, do we? And there are many people in this world that have turned their back on God because they think they can do it all themselves. And we can do, of course, the blame game and blame Adam and Eve for eating the forbidden fruit because that's where it all went wrong, didn't it? But I always wondered if Adam and Eve hadn't eaten from the fruit, it might have been someone else maybe making the wrong choices. But we never know. We don't know. It was Adam and Eve. And unfortunately, they were taken out of the Garden of Eden by God, and we can still see to this day the consequences of that wrong choice. Women who have given birth to children will know all about it, because God said after the fall to Eve, I will increase your trouble in pregnancy and your pain in giving birth. And to Adam, he said, you will have to work hard all your life to make enough food for you. And I will produce weeds and thorns. You will sweat to make the soil produce anything at all. All because of their disobedience. And people with a garden, probably Enly knows all about it, how hard it is to keep the weeds down and how it can be a struggle to go to work every day and work hard for your money to provide for the family. Before the start of the building of the Tower of Babel, or Babel, I think you say, all people spoke the same language. Did you know that? But as they wanted to make a great name for themselves, God mixed up their language so they couldn't understand each other anymore. And he scattered them over all the earth. Did you know there are about 7,000 different languages in the world? 7,000, wow. And still until today, we hear many of these different languages spoken. But one day, we will speak one language again. All the same language. And a little foretaste of that we can see at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came down on the people who started to speak in tongues, the languages of the people who were present there, from all over the world in Jerusalem at that time. And apart from all that God created, there are many more examples of signs and customs taken from the book of Genesis that find their way in today's life. And I would think the rainbow is still the most obvious one, the one we can all see after a heavy rainfall. Through Genesis and the rest of the Bible, we can see that God calls and he directs and he blesses and uses ordinary people to work his plans out. Many times he uses even the most corrupt people to work his plans out, and we have all seen that, and we just spoke about that as well. People who cheat their way through life, like Jacob, people who lie, like Abraham, when he lied about Sarah being his sister, or people sleeping with the wrong people, like Judah did with his daughter-in-law. And there are many more examples of people who failed God, but the Lord keeps on calling them because God created out of love and he wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to have a relationship with us. Through their failures and struggles, the people in Genesis start to understand that the only prosperous way is God's way. And they will eventually become people of faith. Isn't that the same case with us? When we drift away from God, we suddenly realize that things might not go so well. We struggle, and we might even wrestle with God like Jacob did. But that's not a bad thing, because even though we may struggle or drift away, God will bless us when we return to him. And Paul says in Romans, we know that troubles produce endurance. Endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. There we have that word, hope, again. And did you know, by the way, that we are holy people? Because we are all made in God's image, and we are set apart by him. However, unfortunately, we are all contaminated with the fall of Adam and Eve. And this does not only mean that we are ashamed of being naked, but it means that we have the choice to choose between good and bad as well, between obeying God or the world. And even though we might try to do our best to do well, it not always materializes, does it? We have noticed that through the entire book of Genesis, there is a thin line between good and bad. And this is basically the problem throughout the Bible and human history. As we know, Satan doesn't sit still either. He still pops up his ugly snake face to distract us and let us believe in his lies. Now, moving forward a few steps in history of God's world, the world we live in now, it has become quite sinful, so sinful that God came up with a new plan, a rescue plan, a super plan, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. You remember that God showed Noah the rainbow as a sign of his covenant not to destroy the entire earth through flood anymore. And since our God is a faithful God and he keeps his promises, he came up with a much better plan, a rescue plan through his son Jesus Christ. And although God made the Israelites his people, we Gentiles are included in and part of God's plan. Mary just read that from the Galatians reading. So in order for God to continue his relationship with the people he created out of love, he sent his only son to this world to live amongst us and show what God is really about and what he is like by doing good and preach the gospel to the people who want to listen to him. Sin came into this world through one man, Adam, but sin went out of the world through one man, Jesus, who took all the sin of the world upon him by dying on the cross and closed the gap of sin we created between God and ourselves. Jesus took it upon himself to plead for us before God and take away all our sins on that cross. Through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, we can stand forgiven and cleansed before God when we say yes to Jesus. When we accept him in our hearts. So there we are, The rainbow is a covenant of hope, hope for the nations of Israel and hope for us all here. From the beginning to the end, God's plan, which starts in Genesis, is a plan to form a relationship with the people he created, to call them to rescue and bless his rebellious people over and over again, to challenge them and to turn bad situations into victorious situations, and to save an entire nation through Abraham's family, the people of Israel. As Joseph said to his brothers in the last chapter of Genesis, "You plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good in order to preserve the lives of many people who are alive today because of what happened." And God will remain faithful, as he still does today. God never sits back and relaxes. He continues with his plan, which he has for all of us, to continue and spread his plan here on earth until the moment of the new heaven and earth, when the old one is gone. God is truly working his purpose out. As Christian believers, we are all part of this plan. Neither our ancestors nor we can do it right in God's eyes. We cheat, we lie, we laugh. We go our own way, we are jealous, we think we can do it all ourselves without the help of God. But our creative, sovereign, omnipotent God had his plan all along, a plan to secure the bloodline of Jesus, his son, who came into this world through the line of Judah to rescue all mankind. So after reading the story again about Noah and the book of Genesis, I never look at a rainbow the same way again as I did before. For me, this rainbow is not only a sign of hope, but of forgiveness, of what Jesus has done for you and me on the cross. It is his promise to us all to have eternal life, to be forgiven and be straight with God, if we continue our faith in God, like the faith Abraham had, to trust and obey in a faithful God. Like the hymn says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abide with us still, with all who trust and obey. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, teach us to trust and obey you like our forefathers. Guide us on our journey of faith like you did with them. Teach us how to listen to your word and make us go where you send us without any fear, but to trust you and obey. Amen. Amen. Now, our next song is it teaches us to dance to the beat of God's heart and to let all our movements express a heart that loves to say yes, yes to Jesus.
Let us pray together for others and ourselves in these precious moments of peace and quiet. For some, it will have been a very busy week. For others, a lonely week. But here, Lord, we have time to sit and think. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed you, Lord, the world has in a mess. Climate change, wildfires, wars, famines, and other natural disasters. But we can be assured that the whole world is in your hands and you are in control. We thank you, Lord, that we live in such a beautiful island, for the house we live in, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, and the freedom to come and worship your holy name. There are many countries around the world, like China Afghanistan, North Korea, Somalia, Libya, Yemen, and the list goes on and on. We're openly expressing faith in you. Reading your Bible or even mentioning your name may result in torture, harassment, or even the death penalty. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world, that they may know that they are not forgotten and that we care for them. Peace, Lord. This world needs peace. We think especially of the situation with Israel and Gaza and the ongoing war in Ukraine. For those living in poverty, refugee camps, and living with the scars and horrors of violence and civil unrest. Gracious God, we ask your guidance and wisdom for our leaders here in Jersey and decision makers around the world, with the upcoming elections in the UK, France, and America, that people make the right decisions and the right choices that promote justice, equality, and the well-being of all. Grant them courage to act in accordance with your divine will. Help us to give and give and give again of our time and money. Let us reach out to those whose lives are in a mess. Hold those who are sad, wounded, in pain, or feeling lonely. And we think of the two paramedics who were in a court case this week. Lord, we pray for our church and the future of our church, that the church will be honest and open and committed to worship and ready to serve your name. We think of our families, our friends and neighbours too, and we especially pray for our young people, that they be protected against spiritual, physical and mental abuse. For the children of broken families who carry the hurt of not seeing their parents together. Lord, we pray for ourselves and all that we will be facing this week, and for all the things that make us happy, some sad, or even angry. For those who mourn a lost one, that they love so much. Lord, comfort them in their grief. And we bring before you particularly the families of Richard Snelling and Jan Egre, who have died very recently. And as the schools finish another term, in fact a year, we think of all the children who will be moving class, moving school, waiting for exam results on which so much can often depend, those looking for jobs. We especially think of Sarah and family who will be moving to the UK to start a new life in Somerset at an amazing school. We just pray, Lord, that you will protect her and her lovely children in all they have to face. And Lord, give them courage and give them good health. We bring all these prayers before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.